Well, hello. Glad to be up here again. Last time I taught on Joshua 5, 1 through 12. And I've been going through Joshua teaching, so I'm going to continue teaching through 5:13 through the 6th chapter. If you don't know what that is, it's the Battle of Jericho. So this isn't something you've never heard of before, that's for sure. So I'm hoping to bring to light some new things. Where we left off last time was the children of Israel were preparing to, they had crossed the Jordan, and they had to be recircumcised because as they lived in the wilderness, they were not being circumcised. So they came and they were circumcised. And I'm going to pick up at verse 6, 5, 6, and then I'm going to continue reading through the end of the chapter. 5, starting at verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of Jehovah, to whom Jehovah swore that he would not show them the land which Jehovah had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then Jehovah said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. Now I want you to remember this part, that they kept Passover, because this is going to be important later. And they ate of the produce of the land on that day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of Jehovah, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of Jehovah's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. I wanted to look at some other instances where similar things had happened, where someone was standing or bring the message of God to others. So I went to Genesis 18, 2 through 3. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door of meeting to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant." This was Abraham, and it was three men that came. Does anyone remember why those men came? Feel free to answer. Alistair? They came to tell Abraham about his judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they used the exact same phrase that he used with Joshua. Then he lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold. I'm going to continue on to 1 Chronicles 21, 16. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of Jehovah standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. I'm going to continue through 17, sorry. And David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil. Indeed, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." This again, the same saying. He lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold. And again, we see another judgment. Does anyone remember what this judgment was for? The judgment had actually already happened in this situation. He numbered the people, and 70,000 died because of his disobedience. I believe it's 70,000. Yeah, 70,000 men of Israel died. So again, we see a judgment. But not all times when people are visited is there judgment. So I wanted to go to Numbers 22. So we're going back to Numbers 22:31. And we'll see another instance. Then Jehovah opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of Jehovah standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of Jehovah said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." So we have another instance where he lifted his head, he looked at his eyes, and behold. And the last one I wanted to share was from Acts chapter 1, 10 through 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus who has taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So again, we see that they looked with their eyes and they saw it. It just was actually an accidental thing that I even noticed this. I was looking for different people being visited. I wasn't even looking for a specific instance of what they were doing, but it just was a neat thing I wanted to share with you. I don't even know exactly what that all means, but I wanted to share it because God showed it to me and it made it was an interesting thing. So moving on, I do want to say that I believe that this angel was coming for judgment. He was coming to say that the time had come for Jericho. I want to read Joshua 6, 1 through 3. "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Jehovah said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days.'" Remember what time of year it was? Passover. And what does that mean? That they had just taken in their harvest. These people were shutting themselves in for a siege. And they were prepared for a long siege. They had all their food prepared, and they had a spring that was a river that ran through Jericho. So they were just ready to outlast this army. They were like, "We're fine." But they weren't, were they? Because they knew what was going to happen. It says they were securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now let's go back to Joshua 2, 8 through 13. And this is when the spies visited Rahab. And let's see what Rahab had to say about this. Okay. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, Rahab, and said to the men, "I know that Jehovah has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For Jehovah your God is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by Jehovah, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." They had known for 40 years that these people were going to come. They had known since the crossing of the Red Sea. During Passover, we saw that God had given opportunity to the Egyptians. God had given opportunity to these people to turn from their ways and trust in him. And I think when that angel said, "I'm not for you or against you," he was saying he loved these people too. And he had given them opportunity, at least 40 years that we know about, to turn from their ways and to trust in him. And we also know that Rahab knew what to do because she did it. She said, "I trust in your God. Please save me." I have to believe that God gave all those men opportunity. And the thing is, they decided to fight against it. They built a wall, they shut themselves in, and they tried to shut God out. So let's continue on. Let's look at Joshua 6, 4 through 14. "And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumps of ram's horns before the Ark of Jehovah." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of Jehovah." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before Jehovah advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." So He had the Ark of Jehovah circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of Jehovah. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of Jehovah went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of Jehovah while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. Does anybody know how big Jericho was? So I decided to look it up, and the archaeology, I don't know where to stand, everyone will be able to see this. The city itself was about 9 acres. It was only 9 acres big. And then around that was another wall. And this total area was about 15 acres. So including the area around this area here would have been another 6 acres. So for them to walk 15 acres, yes, it was a large army, but these were young, strapping men. These were, you know, even the priests would have had to have been under 50 at this time. So they would have marched around the city, and it probably would have taken them 45 minutes at the most. So whenever he says, don't talk, that makes a lot more sense to me now. I'm like, they're going to not talk for hours? To me, I didn't realize it was that the cities were this small. The archaeologist said that in 9 acres of land, over 1,800 people could have lived right there in that spot. And the surrounding areas could have held another 1,200. So this is a city of around 3,000 to 5,000 people. I'm going to, you know, go a little bit higher just in case. But also, it was a city on a hill. And then the city is up on here. This hill here had what was called a retaining wall that would have been all the way across. And then a 20-foot wall right around the edge of the perimeter. This here would have had a 26-foot wall. So this is 12 feet up to the main city. And then it's gently sloped up to the main city. So you got the main city up here. And there was another 46-foot wall around the city. How intimidating would that be? These people didn't care to fight. They weren't right there to fight. They're just going to lock themselves in and wait them out. Because all these people out here, their food supply is going to run out. And how are they going to fight and defeat this army? They're basically just set up to wait them out. But we know, and we've seen, also I wanted to let you know, that in these walls, that's where some homes were built. Of course, the people that lived within these walls were the people that were less fortunate because you wanted to be in here. You were super safe in this area. These walls were also 6 feet thick. so pretty much impenetrable at that time. Rahab actually lived in one of these walls, and the archaeologist had found a spot where there was a house that would have been intact after the falling of Jericho. But another interesting thing was that when these walls came down, they actually acted as a ramp. So they came down and they acted as a ramp so that the people could come in easily into the city. Some fascinating things as I read the archaeology of what had happened. So I just wanted to continue and let you know how the story ends. Okay. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. So even marching around this city seven times, I had thought I was going to make the point that, look, see, these men would have been exhausted. Not only was there the wall falling down, but then after I looked at it, I was like, well, maybe not. I mean, that's not really that far of a walk. But they did have to do it seven times, so it may have taken 6 or 7 hours. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times, and on the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for Jehovah has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by Jehovah to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to Jehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Jehovah." So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you have swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel, but they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at the time, saying, "Cursed be the man before Jehovah who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So Jehovah was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Lastly, I wanted to share what the archaeologist had found. I had read a few sites, some with a Christian writer and some without. And I found it very interesting because they saw the same thing and came to different conclusions. The first one, the Christian writer, he said, "We found stores of food set up for a siege. These people were preparing for that." This is evidence of the story of Joshua. This is evidence that that's what happened. And I saw the other writer saying, "See, this couldn't have happened because all the stuff that they had was prepared for a siege, but there was no siege. Well, yeah, because their food stores were still there, is what they said. So they weren't there was no siege. Well, yeah, a 7-day siege is not the same as 6 months of a siege. You see, this is the evidence that exactly what we would expect to see left at the archaeological site was there. And I just thought it was interesting. I wanted to share it with all you, and I hope that you enjoyed it.